This is Phil Ferrand, and I'm driving home. It's Thursday today, and I truly hope I am not in at work tomorrow. I'm having to back up today, so that's why the voice is weird for a moment. We're going to go outside here. Hopefully this is going to work out fine. I actually got out of work today. Came out, got in my car, got the recorder ready, turned it on. No battery. Oh! Rats. So, went ahead and ran down to the little get and go. Actually, come and go, which we have those here in Missouri. I actually took a picture at one point of the come and go. There was a dog, and a big dog in a little car, and I thought it looked cute, so I took a picture of it. And my sister-in-law saw the sign for the gas station, and she said, come and go? I said, yeah, I know. And it's spelled K-U-M, too. So, but anyways, moving on. So I ran down to the local come and go, and they had some batteries, so I put some batteries in. That means that I am going to be about, oh, I don't know, 2 or 3 minutes shorter on drive time. But when did that ever stop me from talking forever? Anyways, I hope I am not coming in tomorrow. We had an interesting little thing go wrong last night. We have data quality assurance routines that were run every night to make sure everything balances to the penny and we're all good. And they got mad last night. So, it wasn't a subsystem. But we actually ended up printing a receipt for a minister twice. The monkeys don't like that. They just don't like that when that happens. And they got mad. So, when we've had the monkeys get mad before, it has had to do with missing account numbers. At first, I thought, oh, it was just a missing account number, so I started working on it last night. I gave up about 11 o'clock because I fast on Wednesdays, and by 11 o'clock on Wednesdays, my neurons aren't all firing. So I just said, you know what, we'll do this in the morning. Most of the stuff is here. Everything got transferred. All the rest of the stuff is balanced. It's just this little piece in the subsystem. So got in this morning. I and my buddy started working on it this morning, and we didn't finish working on it when did we finish working on that? It was about 4 o'clock this afternoon by the time it was all said and done. But, you know, we figured out what the problem was, and we had to dust back through a bunch of data and clean it up and yada, 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 but we think we've got that all done. And the only reason I would probably be in tomorrow is if we hadn't gotten that all done. So, hopefully I won't be going into work tomorrow. If I am, that's okay. We'll figure out what's wrong. We'll fix it. But I think at this point, we're under control, so we're good. Editing is going fine on the book. This is the glamorous part of book writing. Just slogging through the edits, thankfully. My beta readers have given me a lot of material to work with. I'm always grateful for their help. So I think the last of that came in this week because Tuesday was the last deadline. In the Philippines, they would, when you'd say it's due by such and such a date, then they would say, well, what is your last deadline? So I kind of run that policy too. People say, the deadline is this. And then I let it slide a week. And then I say, this is the last deadline. Because some people need a little extra time and everybody seems to appreciate that. So I think I have it all in now. It wouldn't surprise me if a little more came trickling in before it was all said and done. But now it's just a race to get it all entered. And I would imagine I have another week worth of editing. So that'll put me second week of December. And then I have to do a final read through. Just a little tweaking. I really don't change much on that final read through unless it's just something is really, really rough, because if I do any tweaking, sometimes my fingers get going faster or not fast enough, and my brain is already gone. And so I just introduce more mistakes. So I try not to do much rewriting at this stage. So that's going fine. Then I have to cut in the new pictures of the grandkids into the cover, get that done, and then I have to build the actual PDFs for the cover and for the inside on the prints, and then build the Kindle version, and then build the ebook version, get those uploaded, filled out, all that kind of stuff, and then it's back to book six. So hopefully, about 2 weeks or so, maybe a little longer, I'll have that under control, and then we will actually be into Christmas vacation. So, yay! And over Christmas vacation, I think I'm going to be doing some writing, and I don't know that I'll really amp up to speed and try to get 10,000 words in that week, but, you know, I'll do some writing, get back to it. I'm in a kind of exciting part right now, so that's fun to write on book six, and you know, we'll go forward. Anyways, what? Sorry, I've gotten a, it says I have a bill from Titan Propane. Oh, that's just for, okay, never mind. I thought I had already paid those bills, but never mind, it's fine. Sorry, apologize. This is why I usually turn my phone off. There are too many times I can be easily distracted. So, this week, I still have a couple of things that were recommended to me, a couple of articles. One is a podcast, actually, and actually both are podcasts, recommended to me for to do for topics on the subject of men and women, and I am going to get back to those. And I started reviewing one, but I just didn't quite feel like it was time, and so I had bookmarked a bunch of other little stuff and was looking at it, and I came across a movie that I had bookmarked, and I am gonna see this movie at some point, but it is an extremely limited release right now. They're just traveling around the country, releasing it in a few theaters at a time. But this sounds like a really fascinating movie. And it was based on a book that was written, I think, by the same guy who wrote Food, Inc., I think. He's done a couple of other things, investigative journalism things. But when I was reading a review of this movie, I was thinking, oi, 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 I need to see this movie, because this would probably have some stuff I can borrow. Okay, this guy is the same guy who wrote Fast Food Nation and Reefer Madness. The name of the book was Command and Control. And the movie is appropriately named Command and Control. It's a documentary on the Titan II missiles, one of the mishaps with the Titan II missile, which is a nuclear warhead. But in a larger scope, it's also talking about how we handle our nuclear weapons. So, one would like to think that these weapons of mass, with a capital M, mass destruction, one would like to think that they are handled with the utmost care and the utmost foresight on all the things that could possibly go wrong. But the fact is, we're humans. Just like we ran across this problem we encountered last night. We thought we had everything buttoned up and ready to go for a modification, and we put this modification in almost a year ago now. And we finally kind of got to a critical threshold, and there it was. You know, we were $100 out of balance. So we chase it down and fix it. I am very grateful. I am very, very grateful in my life that I am not involved in work that deals with nuclear weapons, or in work that deals with satellites or payroll or any of those things that when they go bad, they go really, really bad. So this Command and Control movie was about an incident with a Titan II missile. Happened in 1980. It was located in Arkansas. And these Titan II missiles, very, very powerful. At the time, they were already considered obsolete. But according to the reviews who quote from the movie, I'm getting this secondhand, they were already outdated at this point. They weren't decommissioned because the United States wanted to potentially negotiate some treaties about scaling down the number of warheads that we had in the United States, and they figured if they kept around these obsolete ones, they could scale them down and go, see what a good job we're doing. Okay, so that's fine. So they were keeping them around. They were eventually deactivated in 1987. However, in 1980, apparently, there was a propellant transfer team that was working on one of these things. And there was a man on this propellant transfer team. His name was Dave Powell. He's up somewhere around the top of this huge missile, working away. And he dropped an 8-pound socket from a socket wrench. Now, an 8-pound socket, this must have been a big wrench, because supposedly that's just the socket. So it apparently was a big wrench. Well, he dropped the socket off of it. It falls all the way down the side of the missile. Eventually, either ricochets off something or slams into something, does something which opens a hole in the missile's fuel tank. And the propellant starts spewing out. This is not a good day. I had a much better day than Dave had today, even though we had a lot to fix today and we were working hard. But I had a better day than Dave had that day. Now, you know, some of the people who are reviewing this movie get a little smarmy. It's always really easy to sit on the outside of something and say, well, that shouldn't happen. Well, yeah, of course it shouldn't happen. That shouldn't happen. But, you know, some things are unexpected. And we as humans are not good at predicting everything that can happen. And sometimes we're a little distracted. And sometimes, you know, we're not as careful as we can be. Those things happen. So this socket drops all the way down. Bam! Opens up a hole. Now there's a problem. Because propellant is spewing this high-powered fuel is spewing into this missile silo. So they're trying to figure out, you know, what to do. Eventually, apparently, they do send in a team. And something happens. I haven't seen the movie, but something happens where the propellant does ignite. And it ignites to the point that it does kill someone, one of the workers in there. And it ignites with such force that it actually blows the top of the missile with the nuclear warhead up and out of the silo, where it comes to rest some distance away with a thump. Also, apparently, there was some chance that, in fact, the warhead would go off. Now, obviously it didn't, because Arkansas would be a very different place today, and lest you think I jest, this was a very powerful warhead. In fact, this was in Damascus, Arkansas, and in fact, one of the reviewers said, let me see if I can find it, as a parenthetical phrase, that a Democratic Party convention was underway 46 miles away in Little Rock, Arkansas, at the time. So a nuclear blast would have likely vaporized the then Vice President Walter Mondale and future President Bill Clinton. Because these weapons are massive. They are mass destruction. Gratefully, it did not go off, obviously. But as the title of the article that got me interested in this said, there was a day when we almost nuked Arkansas. We almost nuked Arkansas. I find no comfort in the fact that there are thousands and thousands of these warheads that we still have. As far as I know, Springfield is not necessarily near any missile silo emplacements, but then again, you get a big enough warhead. If it can hit Little Rock from 46 miles away, who knows where these missile emplacements are? There was only one casualty in the incident, one of the workers who went in to fix the damage. But there have been deaths regarding the Titan II. I guess there was another mishap in 1965 that led to the death of 53 construction workers. It would be very nice to say that, this stuff doesn't happen very often. But one of the other things that they mention in the movie is that it's very hard to get an accurate number of these, quote, broken arrow, unquote, incidents. Some say there's been 32 or so. Others say there's been possibly more than 1,000. We are all human beings. And we all make mistakes. And unfortunately, we are always extremely optimistic about how safe we are with the things that we make. We are always far too optimistic. As we were going through all the different pieces today, there's so many pieces. You know, we're going through them, we're scanning, we're, you know, doing this, doing that. It's just amazing how you get started down a road and you start building something and you put in the complexity that is necessary for it to do it, and you do it a day at a time and you're not really looking back, and before you know it, you have this massively complex system. To God's credit, it has, I think the last time we had The Monkeys Get Mad at Night with Balancing was 2 years ago. I mean, it runs well. It certainly runs well. But, you know, there is many things that can go wrong. And thankfully, they don't go wrong much. But we're all just humans. When I read this article, though, I'm getting my mail. When I read this article, I was just pondering, what would this be like if something like this would happen? And amazingly enough, it hasn't yet. But there are thousands of these warheads still out there. I guess I say all this just for a couple of different things. First of all, when something goes wrong, don't immediately conclude that somebody intentionally screwed up. Because there are a lot of very diligent and capable people. I'm backing into my garage. That, you know, they try the best, but there's a whole lot of pieces to some of these things. And there are unintended side effects that you only realize after it's all done. You think, ah, I should have watched for that. That stuff happens. And then secondly, on all of that, I think we need in our lives to constantly pursue an understanding of holding this world loosely, of not falling into the trap of believing that our lives, which in America are so blessed, so incredibly blessed, might not turn, but always find comfort in the fact that if they do turn, that Jesus is just going to be the same as he was yesterday and the same as he was tomorrow. That all is well, that there is nothing to fear. But there may be very adventurous days ahead of us. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.